This is the Rock and Roll Autopsy Podcast.
All right, I'm going to zap her again. Charge up the paddles. Come on, let's go.
Sorry, doctor.
Hold the compressions.
Clear.
Straight line.
Good evening and welcome to Rock and Roll Autopsy. We are the Forensic Files on your radio dial. My name is Scott.
And this is Rico.
Man, have we got a show for you tonight. We are going to give you the autopsy you have been waiting for. It is a phone call?
I wonder who that could be.
I don't know. I guess it's the request line. I'll pick it up.
Well, let's see who it is.
WRNRA, East of the Rockies.
Oh, it's the breather.
It's the breather.
How's it going, breather?
Oh, hey, buddy. Listen up, pervert. You're calling a request line. I'm going to assume you've got a request. And knowing you, because you're some sick breather guy who likes to call in and harass radio shows, it's probably some request that's highly offensive and inappropriate. Am I wrong?
I said...
Rico, did you hear what he said?
He... something about fucking like a beast.
He wants us to do wasp? Animal?
Fuck like a beast.
Fuck like a beast.
So that's what we're going to do all you listener out there.
That's incredible. Well, thank you, breather. Did you hang up on him?
Yeah.
I mean, if he's still on the line.
No, goodbye.
Thank you. Listen, it's Rock and Roll Autopsy. We're here. We're excited. We are going to lay this wasp song out onto the operating table and carve that mug up and find out if it killed rock and roll. What do you say, Rico?
Let's do this.
But first,
the news.
What is this garbage you're watching? I want to watch the news.
This is the news.
September 7th, 1988, in excess. The new sensation, get it? New sensation?
Great.
Good job. From Australia. Man, I need to phlegm out. From Australia are big winners at the MTV Video Music Awards, taking 5 trophies, including Video of the Year for Need You, Mediate. The songs are separate tracks on the album, but combined for the video, the Mediate part is an homage to Bob Dylan's 1965 Subterranean Homesick Blues film. I need water. I sound like
really,
the breather.
Man. Are you okay? Do we need an intervention or something? I kind of dig that. The old Bob Dylan video with the cue cards and shit.
Well, yeah,
that is super fucking creative. And I kind of it wasn't. You know how sometimes when people copy other people's creative work, it kind of doesn't come off well.
Yep.
I don't feel that way in this sense. I feel like when NXS did it, it was super cool. It was not inappropriate. It was not offensive. It wasn't cheesy. It was pretty cool, and I kind of like how they were able to pull that off.
Actually. Great album, great song. NXS is a killer band. Their best album, the Kick album, all kinds of good songs. Remember,
the devil inside, the devil in every single one of us.
The devil inside. The devil inside. Were they just, it was just the 80s satanic, was NXS a satanic band like Venom and Slayer?
Did they lead the satanic panic thing? Doubtful.
Doubtful. Doubtful. What else is in the news, sir?
September 8th, 1976, riding the wave of his Frampton Comes Alive album, Peter Frampton gets invited by President Gerald Ford, who tripped his way out to visit Frampton on his way in when he visited the White House. Wait, we have that.
Oh, no.
That was a boo.
Big booed. Tough crowd.
Yeah, there we go.
I get no respect. I got booed. I got booed on my own podcast. Bastards. Yeah, we got to come up with some commentary beyond just going.
No,
to stay in the good side of fair use.
Again, my big question here with the Peter Frampton. It's cool that there was a time when, you know, artists and people could visit the White House without having it be a big fucking deal. But nowadays, there's all kinds of shit.
Divisive.
All types
political.
Of social media bullshit that goes along with it.
Gotta be a statement.
But more importantly, I may have thought about this before, but again, I'm wondering, what do these two guys talk about when they're there? I don't know. Do they have anything in common to talk about? He's a Republican vice president, and he's Peter Frampton.
They talk about the talk box.
What are they?
Gerald
Ford's
like, Gerald's
like, "Hey, Frampton, I like when you do that wart thing."
That wart thing. Yeah, yeah. That's what Gerald Ford talks about. I gotta be honest, I wouldn't want to talk to any president. I don't care if it's a president I like or a president I don't. I don't want to talk.
Is there a president?
What the fuck am I gonna say?
Okay.
What am I gonna say?
Just think of one. Is there a president that you can think of that? If they asked you to visit the White House, you would be the most excited to visit that president. Go.
I wouldn't want to go.
No, none of them?
No, I would not want to go. I would not want to go to the White House. I would not want to go see the president. I don't care who it is. I would not want to go. My brain works like this. My first thought, if I received like this fancy embossed invitation in the mail to go to the White House, my brain would immediately go up to, how do I get out of this?
Really?
Yes. My brain does that for everything.
I feel like
I don't want to do anything. I get invited to a birthday party for my daughters and I'm like, how do I get out of this? I don't want to. I'm filled with dread whenever I'm asked to do
shit. I just want to hide in my basement with my dog.
Sounds good. That sounds fine.
And watch Joe Bob Briggs on streaming service.
I would not. No, there's no problem.
I was imitating you. Did I sound like you at all?
Yes.
Okay.
But that's, I don't want to do stuff. Period. I would look for a way out of it.
I don't want to be social.
To me, it sounds like,
even if it's the president,
I would spend like an awkward afternoon with some dude I have nothing in common with. Why the hell would I want to do that?
Even if it's like the leader of the free world?
Who fucking cares? I would not want to do it. I would not want to meet the Pope, the President, Jesus H. Christ. There isn't anybody I want to meet. I'm good. What the hell would I talk to him about? Just make small talk?
So, what's like being the president?
Hey, Mr. President.
Did you save the world yet today?
I mean, is that the phone? You know, the one?
The one? Do you have the bat phone here?
I'd be like Chris Farley. Remember that time?
Is your emergency phone red like the bat phone?
Oh, shit. All right.
Anyway.
So, where are we at? September 8th, 1965. An ad appears in Variety looking for four insane boys aged 17 to 21 to star in a new TV show, The Monkees.
If they were trying to do the American Beatles, they did a bad job because the lead singer was British. So I'm not sure. What do you think that whoever cooked this idea up, what do you think was their end game? Because you couldn't.
What, fake band a TV show?
Yeah. I mean, I suppose that had never been done before. So.
What was the end game? Watch old reruns of 60s television. What was the end game for any of that shit?
True.
Fucking H.R. Puff and stuff and all the wacky ass shit. Batman, the 60s.
True.
Batman.
True.
It was all fucking like, it was Rico.
I've got
breaking news. They were all high as fuck for like an entire decade.
I was putting way too much thought into it. But don't get me wrong,
make
man.
Money,
when the
come
monkeys,
up with fucked up shit.
When the Monkees were on MTV, I watched every one of those motherfuckers because I love that show.
What was Mike Judge's end game for Beavis and Butthead? what else is in the news?
You said end. September 9th, 1992, Nirvana's feud with Guns N' Roses reaches a tense climax. Aren't they all tense? Bah, bah. when Axl Rose threatens Kurt Cobain backstage at the MTV Video Music Awards. What did he threaten him with? Like, do you know, is it just because Axl was pissed that Nirvana just kind of ignored them? Okay, let me ask you this. What did Axl Rose, how did he feel about Kurt Cobain? Even though Nirvana came out after Guns N' Roses, did Axl Rose really, really like Nirvana that much?
He was a huge fan.
Really?
I think he wanted their validation because they came in like Raid and just sprayed the entire cultural landscape and wiped out all the bugs that were infecting it, you know, and just they wiped the slate clean. I'm using bad metaphors, but Nirvana came in and just fucking
blew it out. Vaporized
man.
Everything. Before
thank
it.
You. Much better. Vaporized everything.
Yeah,
and I think that Axl wanted that validation that they, you know, that they weren't part of all that stuff and they were better than that. And he wanted this guy, this
he
generational icon.
He built a $6
million
church in the desert so that fucking Slash could fake a guitar solo. They were huge back then.
Didn't matter.
So
didn't matter because Nirvana came along and made all that look ridiculous.
Yeah.
So then Axl wanted to be like, well, please tell me I'm still loved and relevant.
Yeah, because Cobain was standing on stage in a dirty old smelly thrift store sweater, same one that he wore everywhere.
That they made it made that,
about all that
November
shit.
Rain video look absurd. It just
let's face it, it is absurd.
It is absurd,
it
absolutely.
Is
absurd. Absolutely.
But it wasn't then. The bigger the better, right?
Yeah.
Go huge,
yeah.
Right?
And
huge
Axl,
hair, huge stance.
Axl wanted that validation, and Kirk would not give it to him, and so they were. Remember, and Axl also had a feud with Vince Neil too. They were going to do the big. I think ultimately, remember the MTV show with like the claymation figures that would fight
death match
or whatever it was,
celebrity death match.
Yeah, well, I think eventually, didn't Axl and Vince Neil eventually fight on that? I don't know.
Okay.
Let's put it this way. Axl, too, is just a lot of bluster and huffing and puffing and nothing. You know what I mean?
What was the better thing that MTV put out, Beavis and Butthead or Celebrity Deathmatch?
Well, that's a good question. I could see where some people would feel one way or the other, but I think that hands down, it's Beavis and Butthead.
Really?
It's fucking amazing.
I really like Celebrity Deathmatch, though, too.
Yeah. I saw one of those figures on Pawn Stars.
Really?
Can I tell you, dude, my great shame of mine is I could fucking watch Pawn Stars for like hours on end.
See, that was me and American Pickers.
I love American Pickers, too. Yeah. I love any of those shows. Yeah. And I'm not a big TV guy, but I love those kind of shows. And one time somebody brought in a Celebrity Deathmatch doll of Marilyn Manson.
Really?
Yeah, to Pawn Stars.
How much did they give for it?
They ended up, you know, they would call every fucking time somebody brings something into Pawn Stars, they're always like, okay, let me call my buddy.
Yeah.
They called the toy guy down the street. He came in and looked at it and validated it.
Yeah.
This was before Marilyn Manson's reputation took the shitter,
right.
You know.
With What's-Her-Face from Westworld.
I mean, given that his reputation before all of that was just as practicing
Satanist. Not that it was
Satanist.
Stellar anyways.
But you know, before it really bottomed out from Antichrist. But anyway, yeah, it fetched a pretty penny. I don't recall how much.
Oh, sure. Interesting.
All right, gang, that'll do it for the news. We'll be right back. All right, Rico.
Yeah, man, what's up?
We need reviews.
What is that? What does that mean?
Well, it's like...
What does that mean to us?
Well, people who listen to our podcast, it would be swell if they would go to Apple Podcasts and write a review or go to Spotify and give us a star rating, something between 1 and 5. It helps us.
How do we know how bad we really are if people don't tell us?
We need the feedback, and the algorithm loves it, and that algorithm is hungry.
It needs fed bad. You know what else needs fed bad? Your ego needs fed bad on this.
Yeah,
that's why we really want the reviews. Let's face it, right? Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I get zero positive feedback in my life. People around me despise me. So I'm counting on total strangers to say nice things.
yeah, I guess the point is to make your ego like completely non-manageable so that I want to stop doing this podcast.
And people might be motivated to do that if they dislike the podcast.
Right. If they want to see in like an intercompany battle between creative differences and how I can't stand how giant your ego is, all we need is for those people to start giving us reviews and feedback, and that'll happen, guys. You'll get some really good social media entertainment here.
It would be a backwards way for them to kill a podcast they hate by saying good things about it, so that my ego would rage out of control.
Exactly.
And you would storm off in a huff.
I think we all want that, right?
I know I do.
So please, do us a favor and give us some feedback.
They said it couldn't happen. They were wrong. Clash of the Titan, the heaviest night of your life is here. Three headline bands. One intense night. Clash of the Titans with Anthrax, Megadeth, and Slayer coming Thursday night, June 6th at Omaha Civic Center. Clash of the Titans, the heaviest metal of all. Megadeth, Slayer, plus Anthrax. Thursday night, June 6th at Omaha Civic Center. Slayer, Anthrax, and Megadeth. With special guest Allison Chains. Tickets this Monday, 10 a.m. at the Civic Center box office at all Ticketmaster ticket centers, including Yonkers, Pickles, Homer's, and Jigs. Or charge at 402-422-1212. Clash of the Titans, the heaviest night of your life. Thursday, June 6th at Omaha Civic Center. Clash of the Titans, produced by Stardate Productions.
Kid, they may look insane. Kid, if rock's the game, it's Kid.
This is Kiss, each sold separately, and you can put them in any crazy pose you want.
That's the name, Kid. They may look insane. Kid, if rock's the game, it's Kid.
Kiss, each 12 and a half inch figure sold separately by Mego.
We are gathered here to remember rock and roll. Rock was born the rambunctious son of country, western, and blues. In the year of our Lord, 1955. On this day, the birth of rock and roll gifted under the world a gyrating pelvis, a throbbing beat, and a pulsating rhythm. A sound so infectious and rollicking that it would endow previously scrupulous young minds with identity, individualism, and purpose, thus setting forth a multi-generational pursuit of all that is loud, debaucherous, and unholy. But, sadly, like all earthly endeavors, rock too must perish. Oh, we mourn the loss of rock and roll, with its ridiculously old standard bearers still on tour and charging ungodly amounts of Mad Jack to witness their long past the sell-by date asses on stage, and with its chauvinism, misogyny, and whiteness no longer aligning with modern sensibilities, and with its aging, fist-shaking fan base kicking every would-be rocker off their proverbial lawn, rock has indeed passed into the celestial void. May rock rest in peace in eternal cacophonous slumber. Amen.
Thank you for that, Scott.
You are listening to the Rock and Roll Autopsy Podcast.
The Autopsy Report.
All right, we've got Animal Fuck Like a Beast by We Are Sexual Perverts, otherwise known as WASP. This is a B-side released April 1984. The label is Music for the Nation, songwriter Blackie Lawless, producer Mike Varney. There you go.
It's Rock and Roll Autopsy. It's Animal. Not the guy who plays drums on the Muppets. Settle down.
Not that guy. Not the wrestler who used to chew the turnbuckles, George the Animal Steel.
With the hairy
not
back.
That guy either.
Not George.
With the green tongue. Remember we had the green tongue?
Yeah,
not that guy.
Not Fozzie Bear.
No.
Not Waka Waka Waka.
It's not your dog, Bolty.
No. It is Wasp.
Fuck like a beast.
Fuck like nice.
You like
fuck
that?
Fuck like a beast. All right, gang. Rock and Roll Autopsy. Wasp. Fuck like a beast. We've got five categories. They are Category 1, gratuitous boomerism.
Boomerism.
Category 2, excessive misogyny.
Misogyny.
Category 3, wanton whiteness.
Whitey.
Category 4, malignant machismo.
James Hetfield.
And Category 5, culture vulturism.
Vultures.
Rico, it's Rock and Roll Autopsy. It's Wasp. It's Blackie Lawless and the gang. We're back in the 80s, man. It's a codpiece with a giant buzzsaw sticking out the front of it.
That's an automatic 1 point in excessive misogyny.
It's fuck like a beast. Rico, Category 1, gratuitous boomerism. How do you score?
Well, first we need to know when Blackie Lawless was born, because like we said, if you're a boomer, you get an automatic 0.5.
So he's like 66 years old or something like that. Yeah.
Boomer.
Yeah.
0.5, just off the top.
Automatic.
Off the top, you get a 0.5 for being a boomer.
Yep.
Now, we're talking about fucking like a beast. Is that something a boomer, is that reek of boomerism? Yes. That is a full one for boomerism.
Scott. I'm going to give it a full one as well, primarily because not so much the subject matter of the song for me. It's not blown in the wind by Bob Dylan that I consider the quintessential boomer anthem.
But they're so similar. I can't believe you said that.
But it certainly is, given Blackie Lawless's advanced years. I'm going to give it a plus one.
Yeah.
Category 2, excessive misogyny. Rico, how do you score?
I don't know. Let's think.
I can pull the.
Can you pull
the
lyrics
up
to help me out?
Would you like
me
to read a little bit?
Yeah, because this one is really tricky. I'm trying to wrap my mind.
I know. It's like, what? How do you score this?
Yeah.
The title of the song, okay. Animal, and then in parentheses, fuck like a
beast. Okay. All right.
I got pictures of naked ladies.
Okay.
Very gentlemanly of him to use the term ladies.
Appreciating the how do you say?
Female form.
The female form. Yep. That's right.
Lying on their beds.
Okay.
I whiff that smell and the sweet convulsion. Just love the fact that in a lyric he used the word whiff. I couldn't even imagine singing the word whiff.
How do you work whiff into a song?
Could you imagine that?
Whiff.
Or if you use like the Stewie from Family Guy, like whiff.
Whiff. Now say that line again in Stewie voice.
I got pictures of naked ladies lying on their beds. I whiff that smell and the sweet convulsion starts a swelling in my head.
A swelling, not ing.
No, it's
swelling.
Starts a hyphen swelling.
Swelling.
It says swelling, swelling inside my head.
All right.
I'm making artificial lovers for free.
Whoa. What do you think he means by that?
I don't know.
I'm making artificial lovers for free?
Don't know.
That's kind of weird.
I start to howl.
All right.
I'm in heat. I moan and growl. The hunt drives me crazy. This is the animal part, right?
Exactly, right.
I fuck like a
like
beast.
Like a beast.
That's just the first verse. There's a lot to unpack there.
Right. Clearly, that's
we're in Category 2.
This is misogyny. Clearly, I'm probably going to give this maybe like a 1,000.
You're correct, sir. It is a 1. There's no other way to score it.
Even though, you know, quote unquote, I'm doing quote fingers now, inspired by a magazine cover where he saw two lions having sex, and that inspired him to write this song. Quote unquote.
Listen, everybody poops.
That's a book. You know, that's a kid's book.
Yep. And everybody be bumping uglies. It happens.
True.
All right. Category 3.
But does everybody nail your ass to the sheets? Does everybody do that?
It's a little enthusiastic, isn't it?
It's a little zealous.
Wanton whiteness. Rico, how do you score?
No, I'm not going to give it a positive score on whiteness, because all races of people talk about having sex with people, and sometimes in a graphic way. This crosses cultures, my friend.
Certainly does.
This is going to get a big fat goose egg, in my opinion.
I'm going to give it a 0.5 just for being hair metal.
Oh, okay. All right. Good point.
And I think of the landscape of hair metal bands, I don't see diversity. So I'm going to give it a 0.5 just in that. And
I gotcha.
And so that's and I'm just going to approach it from that perspective. All right. To your point, yes, sexual conquests have been subject matter of music
millennia,
of all kinds
for millennia,
forever.
Millennia, right.
Category 4. And I know, dear listener, you are on the edge of your seat. You want to know how this song is going to fare with this very, very scientific process we're putting it through. Category 4, Malignant Machismo. Rico, how do you score?
So are we...
I have lyrics if you need more.
Yeah, maybe you ought to aid me with some more lyrics. Ready, go.
Second verse.
Okay, same as the first.
I'm on the prowl. I watch you closely. A little creepy.
Yeah, Night Stalker stuff.
I lie waiting for you. Well, I'm the wolf with the sheepskin clothing. I lick my chops and you're tasting good. Colonel Sanders.
Finger licking good.
I do. Uh-oh, here's a questionable line.
All right, here we go.
2022.
Hit me.
I do whatever I want to do, yeah. I'll nail your ass to the sheets. A pelvic thrust and the sweat starts to sting ya. I fuck like a beast.
All right, so.
It's a lot to unpack there.
Here
some
we
real poetry happened. I mean,
no,
painting
I mean,
a picture, isn't it?
Dude, Keats has nothing on this guy. let's think about this. So one would...
Malignant Machismo.
Right. One would think that, because he's trying to be super sexual, right, that we would say a plus one in the Jim Morrison version of sexual
swagger,
swinging dick swagger, right? Yep. No, not feeling that.
No, it's not there.
Because it feels a little forced.
Yep.
Jim Morrison.
This feels a little rapey.
Jim Morrison. Morrison didn't have to force his swinging dick. It just was there. Right?
He didn't need to have power tools in his codpiece.
No. Just a pair of low riding leathers, baby.
Yeah.
That's all he
yep.
needed. This is Hetfield machismo. This is legs spread, fucking circular saw codpiece. That is full on, like, capital O-N-E, one, plus one in machismo, but not the sexual kind. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
That's that. No, he's trying. He's trying super hard to have that swinging dick swagger, but it's coming out forced. And to your point, a little rapey.
Yeah. Hold on. Wait, I think I smell something. I'm catching a whiff of a plus one for Malignant Machismo for me as well, for all the reasons you so eloquently stated. I agree, sir. Let's move on to category 5, our final category. It is culture vulturism. Rico, how do you score?
To me, this sounds like, and again, it's not my opinion, it's science. And the science works.
Indeed.
This is a bad Motley Crue Kiss ripoff. Like, if Motley Crue and Kiss had a baby and it was like a deformed, genetically mutated baby, it would be Wasp.
Do you remember when...
Like, let's say that Kiss and Motley Crue were like the Targaryens. And they intermarried for several generations like the Targaryens do. And they had a deformed baby and it would wound up being a Wasp.
Yeah. And Kiss had, like, in the 80s, they were writing songs not unlike this one. In the 70s, they were a little more user-friendly. But in the 80s, the Kiss went full-on Murder in High Heels, All Night, You Make Me Rock Hard, Let's Put the X in Sex.
Yeah.
I mean, they were pretty over the top with with the stuff. So yeah, it's a good point on your behalf. I'm going to give it a 0.5 for the same reasons of it's just of that genre. It's a more extreme version of that, but it is kind of there was, I think, a lot of vulturing of one another going on within that genre.
They I think all you're right.
were carbon For copies sure. of one another.
It just, to me, these they just sound like a bad version of Motley Crue.
All right, let's add it up. We are finishing our autopsy. I know you're on the edge of your seat.
You're dying to know how the science.
Here comes the hard part. Here we gotta do math.
I've got 4 points.
And I have 4 points as well, which is a grand total of.
We, the jury, find the defendant guilty as charged.
The science works.
Once again.
Yeah, I mean, how can you have a song called in 2022? In the 80s, this shit was fine.
It was totally
in the
80s,
they were selling this song right beside Barbie and Cabbage Patch Kids and like your cereal. This was fine for children to consume. But
in today's culture, though,
oh, you're not going to fly. You're not getting away with this one.
It killed rock.
So you killed rock
science
and roll.
Works. Once
Way
again.
To go, Blackie Lawless.
Although I will say, you know, in his defense, I have to give him a little bit of bonus points because he owns Elvis's bedroom furniture. That's cool, right?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So he bought that shit?
Apparently he owns, and it's in his house, apparently Elvis's bedroom furniture.
The furniture that Elvis and Priscilla
did the nasty
on?
I don't know if it's the bed too, but
he must be a huge Elvis guy.
Which is cool, right? I give him bonus points for being an Elvis fan.
Yeah, that's cool. Hey, Blackie, you rock, man.
Good job, buddy.
This has been Rock and Roll Autopsy. Good night now.
Let me have that special rock and roll music. Yeah!
Let me tell you, so the lyrics to real rock music is nothing more than satanic cyanide. Get it out of your house, throw it out, and burn it. It has no place in the house of the righteous.
Guys, it was like a mistake. There's no mistake anymore.
To the dawn, love it to the morning. I'm gone.
Follow us on Twitter at @RNRAutopsy, or you can send an email to rockandrollautopsy@gmail.com. And if we run across anything good, we'll mention it in a future episode. Thanks for listening. Later.
Well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.